I have a tendency to get emotional sometimes. I have so thoroughly enjoyed being here. There's some places that I've gone and I've preached, and it has actually been like, did these people know I'm coming? And am I tweed, checkerboard? Is there something wrong with my speech? Is my hair not combed? Because it looked like they had been sucking on persimmons for 2 weeks. I've been places where it was so difficult to preach this book. I've been places where if there were 300 there, 10 might speak. And from the bottom of my heart, may I simply say this. I have learned to love you all. It has just been my honor and my pleasure to be here. And quite frankly, I'm going to miss you. I may have to play hooky and come back from time to time, Leon. I may just have to do that. If you have a Bible, in fact, if you have one, hold it up and let me see it. Well, there's a lot of them. Now, if you're not holding one up, look around you. There's got to be one somewhere underneath, behind, to the side of you. Everybody look under your pew. If you find one of them and you see somebody that doesn't have it, hand it to them because you're going to need to follow me tonight. You're going to need to follow me tonight. While they are still looking for Bibles and passing them out, if you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. As Melissa mentioned earlier, as I mentioned last night, I'm going to be preaching on grace, and this is perhaps the greatest grace passage in all of Scripture. I am over 60 years of age. I have been preaching for 45 plus years, and God never gave me this message until just about 3 months ago, thereabouts. And I have preached this passage for 40 plus years. I have no idea how many times I've preached it. I have read it more than that. I've studied it more than that. And one day God opened my eyes to this specific passage in Scripture and said, Steve, if you really want to preach about my grace, here's where you're going to preach about my grace from. And I'm going, Lord, why didn't I see this 40 years ago? And the answer is very clear. I was not supposed to. Everything is in God's time and in God's timing. But I want to share it with you tonight about the grace of God. And I'm going to give you the clearest picture in all of Scripture about the grace of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way through verse 16. So you're going to have to listen quickly if I'm going to get through tonight. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Now catch those first words before we go any further. For the what? Kingdom of heaven is like. So if you want a description of God's grace and how God views heaven and how God views the people of heaven, you're going to want to read this parable and stay with me tonight, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, I want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those who hired first came, they thought they would receive more, and they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus, I love this verse. Sometimes it's been difficult to understand in Scripture, but I love this verse. You got to get this last verse. Thus the last shall be first, and the first last. May God bless the reading of His Word. I want to preach to you tonight about grace, but I want to share this story with you in the same form that Jesus did, as a parable and as a story. But if you'll notice with me, it says the kingdom of heaven is like, and it immediately begins talking about a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now notice this landowner didn't send anyone to go get workers for his vineyard. He went himself to get the workers. Now perhaps it was his custom, and I suspect that since he was a successful landowner, he was not afraid of hard work. Amen? Because the truth is, luck in business is usually the result of hard work. So this landowner no doubt had hard work, but in that growing season, and all of them would have been familiar with this, the way the seasons are over there in Israel, you have a very short growing season and a very short season in which to gather your grapes up. If you don't get them at the right time, they'll spoil and you'll lose at least half of what you're expected to produce. So this landowner apparently had an overabundance that year. He had other workers, I suspect, that were on his payroll. They were his average workers. They were on his payroll, and they the ones who plowed, who fertilized, who trimmed, who did all the things necessary in that vineyard. But boy, when it was time to go out and get that harvest, the landowner looked around and he said, boy, I just don't have enough people. So he got up and he went to where? Early in the morning, and he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day. A denarius was the wage of a day, but it was not the low wage of the day. The denarius was actually the day's pay for the average Roman captain. Now, are you catching that? That was the pay for an average Roman captain. Not somebody down here, but a Roman captain. So that denarius was his pay for the day. Now, to show you right off the bat how generous this landowner was, these were day laborers. What he did was went down to the marketplace where these men were gathered around, standing around, hoping that someone would hire them for the day. Now, you have one of those in your community. You just may not know it. But I can guarantee you, they know where it is. Day laborers know where that spot is, that they can go and they can congregate, and sooner or later, someone will come by and perhaps offer them work. Now, those who use day laborers in their work also know where that place is, so when they need day laborers, they'll get in their truck or their car or whatever, and they'll go to that spot, and they'll find day laborers, and they'll pick them out, 1, 2, 3, or whatever they need, and they'll hire them to work for the day. That day, one day. Now, they may go back tomorrow, but all they know for sure is that they're going to get a day's wages. So when this landowner shows up at 6 o'clock in the morning, by the way, 6 o'clock in the morning, he's already up and going. He's at the marketplace. There's somebody there, and he agrees with them, look, I've got a lot to do in my vineyard, and I need some workers, and if you'll go work in my vineyard, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to pay you just the regular rate for just run-of-the-mill day laborers. I'm going to give you a denarius if you'll go in and work for me. Now, I just want to ask you a question. If you were a day laborer, you didn't have a job, you worked from day to day to day, and you were satisfied with what you could get, if somebody came up and said, if you'll just work for me as a day laborer in my vineyard for one day, I'm going to pay you the same thing that Roman captain gets. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen if you're one of those people. Can you repeat that, please? Say what? You're willing to pay me what? To go work in the vineyard? Absolutely, buddy. Where's the door to this truck? Let me in this thing. And away they went, absolutely thrilled to death to have a day's work for a denarius. Now, keep that in mind, how happy you are. Hot dog, I'm going to get to put some supper on the table tonight because I'm not just going to work. I'm going to get 12 hours worth of work. I'm going to get paid the same as a Roman captain. And I can guarantee you they were tickled to death to get that job. And I can guarantee you they did a good day's job because if they got paid a denarius today and they didn't get through with that vineyard today, most likely, they were going to get hired to work tomorrow. And how much would they make tomorrow? A denarius. He had set the pattern. So these people were absolutely thrilled to death to have a job. They were overjoyed. They were tickled to death that they were going to get paid and not paid day laborers' rates. Now keep that in mind because that is extremely important. Keep that in mind. So they're out working, and the landowner, the vineyard owner, looks around and he's seeing, "Ooh, Lord have mercy, I've hired some, but good gracious, I've got a lot of stuff and I can't lose it. I think I'm going to go back down to the marketplace." So about 9 o'clock, he goes back down there. Now, I can't tell you if he's driving a Ford, Chevrolet, or Dodge. If he's smart, he's driving a Dodge like me. But whatever it is he's got, he's driving down to that marketplace, and he gets to the marketplace where they're gathered around, and he sees some other fellas have showed back up. They might not have been there at 6 o'clock. And he looks at them. Now, look with me, if you will, in verse 3. "And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others," what? "Standing idle in the marketplace." Now, that doesn't mean they were just being ugly. It doesn't mean they were lazy. It just means that they were there. They were in the right place to get work. They just didn't have any work. So at 9 o'clock, when 3 hours of the day had already passed, he looks at them and he says, fellas, I see y'all are standing here. You don't have any work. How would you like to come work for me in my vineyard today? Look what is missing in this passage. There's no amount mentioned, is there? Not an amount mentioned. Wow. He said to them, "You go in the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." And so they went. And again, he went out about the sixth hour. That was 12 o'clock. And then again, he went out at the ninth hour. That was 3 o'clock. Now, let me walk through those with you quickly. These were day laborers. They were in the marketplace. They weren't sure if they were going to have supper on the table tonight or not. They didn't know if the family was going to have anything to eat the next day. They were in the marketplace hoping someone would come by and pick them up. And this guy comes in, and the landowner himself personally says, "Fellas, come and work in my vineyard, and whatever's right, I will pay you." Now, we're not told that about the ones that went there at 12 and 3. The first one got promised a denarius. The second group got promised what was right. There was no promise made to the next two. Why? Here's why. Suppose you're a day laborer. It's already lunchtime. They worked 12-hour days. At 12 o'clock, half of the day was gone. They were just hoping beyond hope that somebody would give them something. And at 12 o'clock, absolutely. Take me to your vineyard to let me go to work. And they went. And they worked. And they were glad to get work because they were not going to lose another day. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes back and there's still men standing at the marketplace whom no one has hired. And he says to them, "Fellas, if you'll come in and work for me, come on, let's go to my vineyard." They did not ask. They did not care how much they were going to get paid. They just knew they were going to get something. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something was a whole lot better than nothing. And they went and they worked. How long did they work? 3 hours. Now, you know, if that story stopped right there, it would have been an amazing story. Don't lose me. Don't let me lose you, because I'm going to bring this to where we live in a minute. And the Bible says, and I love this part, verse 6, "And about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon." Now keep in mind, they only worked until... And they had to get from the marketplace to the... And unless the vineyard was right next to the marketplace, and it wasn't, they were not even going to get to work a full hour. But I can guarantee you that at 5 o'clock, if somebody came in and says, "If you'll come work for me, whatever time is left, I'll pay you," they were extremely glad to get anything they could get, even if it was paltry pennies. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about, this being a grace passage? I am so glad you asked me. I was afraid you wouldn't, and I wouldn't get to explain it. Every one of those workers in those times represent people who come in to the kingdom of God. I had the privilege some years ago in Canada on a mission trip in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, during cold weather. I won't do that again. Let me rephrase that. Lord, I didn't mean that. Lord knows I didn't mean that, or I'll be back in the wintertime. I would prefer to not go back in cold weather. I did, didn't I? But I had the privilege during that trip to witness to a 90-year-old lost Catholic. Now, he was Catholic only because he was reared Catholic. He didn't go to a church. He probably knew a lot less about being Catholic than I could have probably explained it to him. All he knew was he was Catholic. But what he didn't know was he was lost as he could be, until I got to share the gospel with him. And I won a 90-year-old man to faith in Jesus in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And I can guarantee you, I will see him again one day. 90 years of age before he ever came in to the kingdom. And I know someone pretty well, as a matter of fact. Even if she is mouthy at times. Did I say that out loud again? Brother, I got my own self in trouble tonight, didn't I? I know one that was saved at the age of 6. There's a lot of difference between 6 and 9. Amen? And she has had a lot of years. Now, I'm not going to tell you how many because I am not that dumb. What are y'all laughing at? I'm not that dumb, but I will tell you, she's had a lot of years since then to serve Jesus and to work in His kingdom. And she's done it faithfully. Faithfully. She has been one of those who worked, who went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And she's labored all day long in the sun and in the heat of the day, in the hard times, in the difficult times. And if you think a pastor's wife doesn't live through difficult times, you just ought to have to experience it at least once. You just should. I've never whipped a deacon, but there have been a few of them I'd like to have. Has been one I did invite outside behind the church, and he was smart enough not to go. Preacher, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I'll tell you why I can say that. That woman means more to me than you do. Amen. I've seen her life. I know her life. I know how hard she's worked. And she's labored difficult hours, long days, under difficult circumstances when she wasn't appreciated. But she didn't grumble. She just kept right on plucking those grapes. Kept right on picking and kept right on plucking. And I'm going to tell you, this woman has put in, well, we can't say 12 hours yet because we're still alive, but I can guarantee you she's put in 11. Now, that 90-year-old man that I won to the faith in Jesus Christ in Canada was 90. Now, why that story is so amazing is because he died less than a year later. He was crippled. I think that's one reason he let us in. He didn't have anybody to go talk to because he couldn't get out. Now, what he didn't know was that there was God, before he was born, God ordained this little fat preacher in a wheelchair to go witness to him. How much time did he get to work? Are you ready for this? He went to work in the vineyard just about that 11th hour. And he didn't quite have a full hour to work, but he still went to work in the vineyard. And there are people who have worked 12 hours. There are people who have worked 9 hours. There are people who have worked 6 hours. There are people who have worked 3 hours. There are people who will have worked 1 hour or less in the kingdom of God. And certainly those who have worked longer deserve more and going to get more. Now I'm going to share with you God's grace. You want to see the grace of God? Prettiest picture of the grace of God that exists. Now look in your Bible with me. I want you to read the words as I read them. And when evening had come, or when the time had come to pay off, when the work period was over, and one day that is coming to you and to me. Man, I can't hardly wait to get here. Wow. Now who went out and got the laborers? Who did? The landowner went out and got the laborers, didn't he? It was the landowner himself who called those laborers. He didn't call on a foreman. He didn't call on anybody else. He went and got those laborers himself. So certainly he's going to pay them himself, right? Well, isn't it amazing what we're about to find out? Look now in verse 8. And when he had come, the owner of the vineyard said to steward or foreman, you call them and you pay them their wages. Isn't that interesting? That's not what we would have expected, is it? The book of Ephesians says this: before you were born, God chose you to be saved. He chose you. The Father does all of the choosing. He chooses you. In fact, if you want a really good study, I'm just going to leave this out for you. You go home in between now and Sunday, you look in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it will start with the Father choosing you, the Son redeeming you, and the Holy Spirit sealing you. And all of those verses in the Greek is one single sentence. It can't even be divided. It can't be divided. God chose you. You just think you walked the aisle and got saved when you wanted to. You did not. The Bible says this, unless God draws you, you can't be saved anyway. You don't just choose on your own. Well, gee, I woke up this morning, I feel pretty good. I think I'll be saved today. That's not how that works. When God is calling you, you understand, A, that you're lost, B, that He's God, C, that Jesus is your Savior, and 4, you need Him. And 5, only after those 4. Number 5 comes is when you fall and you become one of His and you go to work in that vineyard. So at the end of the day, the owner said to his foreman, call them. Now I'm going to say that again. I want you to pick up on what I'm saying. The owner said, call them. And you pay them. Do you remember that trumpet I was talking about last night? Are you with me now? Are we on the same page here? The Father's going to look over one of these days, and Jesus, even though He is God as much as God the Father, He is God. He does not know when that's going to take place. But one of these days, the Father's going to look over at the Son, and He's going to say, Son, call them. And I'm going to tell you, if there's ever been a blur in heaven, there's going to be a blur. Because if the Father doesn't look real quick, He's going to say, Son, call them and get... Where'd that boy go? He's going to be gone because he's sitting ready to go. And the Father, the landowner, the Father's going to say to him, Son, call them. And when you get them all gathered up, pay them. Amen. Whoo, what a day that's going to be. Now, I don't know about you, but it would not hurt my feelings tonight if this ceiling just peeled back and I looked up and there comes Jesus and I leave this old broken old body behind and I go meet Him in the air. Amen? Amen. Because I'm going to a party, and there I'm going to get paid. How much am I going to get paid? Well, it's got to be based on some kind of formula. I mean, it's got to be based on, let's see, I was saved at 14. She was saved at 6. So there's got to be about 8 years worth of pay she's going to get that I'm not going to get, because obviously she was saved at 6, and I was only saved at 14. And is there anybody in the building that was saved after the age of 25? Would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody in here? Thank you. Is there anybody in here that was saved after the age of 30? There's still a couple. I'm going to keep going until I find the last one. Is there anybody that was saved after the age of 40? Anybody that was saved after the age of 50? Now, ladies, be careful. I don't want you to give your age away. I'm not trying to get in trouble. I'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. Saved after the age of 50. Well, now, absolutely, this woman that was saved at the age of 6 is going to have a whole lot more than this dear sister back here that was saved after the age of 50, obviously. Why? Because she's had 44 more years of working in the kingdom, and she's worked and toiled hard in the kingdom, and she's borne it in the heat of the day, in difficult circumstances, for a long, long time. So obviously, I mean, it just wouldn't be fair if she didn't get paid more, would it? Says who? It just would not be fair. How many of you have ever said that to God, by the way? I'm going to chase a rabbit here for a second. This is my last night. You can't run me off, so if I preach long, it'll be okay. I'll run this rabbit. How many of you have ever said, or at least thought, God, that just ain't fair? I know that's not proper English, but it works. God, that just ain't fair. Has anybody ever said that? I'm not trying to get you to. I'm raising my hand. That just ain't fair. And God's response is always going to be, why isn't it? Have you ever said, why me, God? I have to raise my, I'm not asking you to, but I have to raise my hand. I have, why me, God? And the answer has always come back, are you ready? Why not you? Why not you? Are you better than any of my other children? Well, yeah, I am, as a matter, since you brought it up. And God said, no. I have no favorite children. I have no favorite children. Why not you? Why not me? It's just not fair. She is saved after 50 and I saved at 6 years old. God, that's just not fair. What does God say? Now then, look at your Bible with me. Pay them their wages. Now look what the landowner said. I want you to start with the last group, then go to the first. So that last group came in. They had worked how long? 1 hour or less. They were expecting probably a few little pence to put in their hand so they might could go by and get a small chunk off of a loaf of bread and take it home. And they held their hand out, and what was placed in it? A denarius. But sir, I didn't even work an hour. I didn't even work an hour. And you're giving me the pay of a Roman centurion? A captain? I didn't work an hour. This is mine. I can keep it. That's yours. That's your pay for the day. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who skipped all the way home? He's thinking as he's going down to the Dollar General again, not only am I going to get a loaf of bread, I'm going to get a pack of ham and some mayonnaise, and we're going to have sandwiches tonight. It's not going to be bread and water. I might even get the kids a piece of candy to make them happy. He was thrilled to death. He worked less than an hour, and he got paid a denarius. Now, if you're one of those who went out in the heat of the day at age six, you're back here doing this. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Psst, did you see what they got? He gave them a denarius and they didn't even work an hour. Can you imagine what we're going to get? Ooh, I can't wait. And then he called up the ones who had only worked 9 hours. What did they get paid? A denarius. And 6 hours, and 3 hours. Now, by now, those who went to work first were thinking, this not working out exactly the way I thought this was going to work out. But I know we're going to get more because we bore the heat of the day. And they get called, and here they come strutting up. You know, we've been there 12 hours. We're the favorites. There's no telling what we're going to get. I might even get to trade automobiles. And they get up there and they hold that hand out and they can't wait. And what's put in it? A denarius. Now, to go back to that first where I read it to you. They were hired for beyond a day laborer's wages. Beyond a day laborer's wages. And they were ecstatic. They were thrilled to death because they were hired at a rate they had never been paid before, and they were happy until they got paid. What happened then? They grumbled at the landowner and said, "These last men have only worked 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day?" And he answered and said to one of them, notice his gentleness, by the way. They were grumblers and complainers, did not like what had happened, even though they were treated better than they woke up expecting to be treated. "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" Of course they did, and happily agreed for a denarius. "Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to him. And you made a bargain with him one day. You saved my soul, and I'll give you all I am, lock, stock, and barrel, for as long as I breathe. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. And when Jesus saved you, you were absolutely just like those who were saved early on or hired early on to work in the vineyard. You were thrilled to death." You were. We all were. But then some came in after us. Some came in 3 hours later. Some came in 6 hours later. Some came in 9 hours later. Some came in 11 hours later. "Preacher, you can't let them work in this church. Bless God, I've been here for the last 29 and a half years. I have worked so hard in that church. I've done this and I've done that. They hadn't been here 6 months. How dare you let them do that?" And they grumbled and they complained. And the landowner said, "Friend, I did you no wrong. Did you not agree?" And the answer is yes. And look at how that verse ends. Maybe the problem is that you are envious of my goodness. Here's the grace of God. Are you ready? "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." What does that mean? You know, people have struggled with that for years. Do you know there's only one way that is a true statement? I'm going to clear this one up for you easily. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. There is only one way that can ever be a true statement. And that's when you cross the line at the same time. That's the only way. What he's saying to us is, it does not matter if you came to me as a six-year-old. It does not matter if you came to me after the age of 50. All I have is yours. Every bit of it is yours. So I'm going to say to you, if you were saved early on and you sometimes want to grumble a little bit at those who are saved later, you know what I've heard them call many times is Johnny-come-latelys. "Why, they're just a Johnny-come-lately." And God says, "No, no, 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 no. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Here's the other part of God's grace, and this is an amazing thing to me. I've shared this with you, and I don't know how to hurt you. I don't know how to say it without hurting your feelings. So I'm just going to say it and blurt it out, and I'm going to say it out loud, brother. We're old. I'm sorry. We just are. And I can promise you, I don't have as many days in that direction as I do in that direction. And I'm reminded of it when I look in the mirror every morning. But here is the good news of God's grace. Why is this the best grace passage in Scripture? Here's why it is. Because in God's kingdom, once we're in the family, we are all equal. If you were saved at 6, God loves you. If you were saved at 70, God loves you just as much as if you were saved at 60. And it does not matter that you might not have but a year, 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years left to serve God. You get up off of your fannies right now and you start serving and working in the kingdom. And when you get through to that place where God calls us home, your pay is going to be exactly the same as mine, though I've been preaching and pastoring for 46 years. And that's how it ought to be. Amen. So we are without excuse. We can't say I'm too old. We can't say I don't have enough years left. I can't work my way into God's good graces. And the truth of that matter is you can't. And you don't have to, and you don't need to. You just need to get in the vineyard and go to work. And when God calls all of us in and it's time to pay us, we're all going to get paid the same thing, because all of heaven belongs to me. All of heaven belongs to you. Every hill, every cow on those hills, and everything He's got, we all own equally. No matter how old we are, no matter how old we were when we got saved, we are all the same. And if that does not excite you, I don't know what can. Amen. So we ought to leave this building tonight knowing, Lord, for some of us it may be the 11th hour, but you're going to get that last hour, because I know when I stand before you, I'm going to get the same thing that the one who worked 12 hours got. That's grace. That is a love and a grace I cannot comprehend. Because the truth is, I don't know that I can be that kind and generous. But God is. God is. So I want to share with you. You're all equal in this place. Doesn't matter if you've been in Lena Vista for 60 years. It doesn't matter if you've been in Lena Vista for 6 days. You're co-laborers. You're all equal. You're all working for the same pay. You're all working in the same vineyard. And you're all working for the same landowner. So may I suggest that you just put arm in arm. You lock arm in arm together. Don't let the devil try to slow you down or stop you or divide you or make you think you don't have time or to make you think you're too old or to make you think you're not old enough. Go to work in the vineyard. Amen. For all of heaven waits for you. Just get busy doing something. Father, we're so grateful. Oh, we're so grateful that we don't have to prove anything to anybody, and we don't have to prove anything to you. All we have to do is fall on our faces before you and humbly accept the grace that you've made available. But Lord, if there is one person in this building tonight, young or old or in the middle, if there's one person that has never surrendered to you, Lord, they're not working in the vineyard. They're still in the marketplace, and there will be no pay for them until something happens in their life, until they come to know you as Lord, as Savior. And oh, Father, what a night tonight would be if one would come into the kingdom. confess their lostness before you and have the blood of Jesus applied to their sins, made clean and clear and new in the Spirit of the living God, taking up His abode in their life. Oh, what a night. Lord, for those of us who are in this building who are believers, who are your children, help us to understand we're on equal footing. There is no difference between us. We're all on equal footing before you because you love us equally. And you're going to give everything you own to all of us equally. So, Father, if there is even one shred of resentment, one little bitty twinge of jealousy or envy, I pray that tonight, before they walk out of this building, that would come to an end and show them your heart, that they may love the way you love. And Father, if we'll all do that in this church and in my church and in every other church across this country, we'll win this nation back to Jesus. But Lord, let it start with us in our individual hearts. We ask you to do a work in us tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Leon.